This is North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell.
And I'm Rick Moore.
And in today's program, more Powerball fever. We haven't got a winner yet.
Got a couple of interviews from area mayors coming up as well.
All right, sounds great. Well, here we are. It is a Tuesday. We've got a little snow in our forecast for some folks. Maybe some rain for the rest of us. But looks like we could get a little bit of snow even right along the coast here on this late Tuesday afternoon. We've got high school basketball tonight here on MSO News Sports as well. Marblehead traveling to Beverly for a boys game right here on MSONewsSports.com. Well, Rick, a couple of news stories here. There's no real news still out of Gloucester on that fire situation, right? Tragic fire situation from yesterday morning.
A couple of reasons. Carrie Kimball Monahan out of the district attorney's office has put out a press release that the fire marshal's office is investigating the cause, and apparently they're still trying to positively identify the body. I guess the gentleman who died is well known in the area. People know who it is. But needless to say, you have to go through proper procedure. And also, apparently, it took a while to identify his family. So a very tragic situation, but nothing new in that case. But there is we do have an interview up with both the Gloucester fire chief and the fire captain who was at the scene from yesterday. And they give great details on what happened. A very sad day indeed.
Right, and I know speaking of today's news and your lead story on Tuesday was there's that tragic one-way accident on 128 near Burlington and Lexington, the Burlington-Lexington line, right by Route 3, where there's a car going the wrong way. I mean, some innocent person is paying the price for that. So that's very tragic news today as well. So, well, here we are. Anyways, we're starting out with a sunny day today, and we mentioned the high school basketball. Rick, the other local news stories, I guess, we're also going to be, besides the mayor, we're also going to be featuring an interview soon with State Rep Paul Tucker from Salem. So we're looking forward to that. Hopefully that might even be up on the website later today when we talk with Representative Tucker. And also, Seth Moulton has, announced, through a news story last week in the Salem News that he is seeking re-election, and that doesn't really come as any surprise if you kind of follow his actions from the past year. His first year in office, been very active, very proactive, and very much promoting the work that he has been doing in Washington and, of course, back in the North Shore District.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to hearing the interview from Chief Tucker as well. I still call him Chief Tucker.
Yeah.
I got to meet him a few years ago, and of course, he's so well known in the Salem area, and hopefully doing a great job for us. And we'll also be interviewing Senator Joan Lovely later on in the week too. So a lot of big local angle from the State House.
Right, and so there's a lot of things happening, and also another note: we've got a Danvers basketball post going up today as well. Tuesday night, Winthrop is playing boys basketball at Danvers. And the reason that game's kind of special is that before the game, they're honoring the 2014-15 undefeated state championship team. And we have a video interview with Coach John Walsh going up soon, and also with five of his current players that were on last year's team about the state title. And then tonight, their ceremony before the game, they're going to be bringing back some of the seniors from last year's team that are out, either in college or playing in college. And they'll be back as well tonight for that ceremony prior to the game. So great night in Danvers for honoring the girls, the boys state championship basketball team from a year ago.
Well, maybe you're looking into the future. Maybe it's in the future for the girls as well. Gloucester has its first city council meeting of the new year tonight with the new city council, Bill. And the headline in the Gloucester Times from Ray Lamont is that the mayor is looking to re-up her team. So apparently, she will be, Mayor Safathia Romeo-Taken will be renominating nine members of her administrative staff, including the Chief Administrative Officer, Jim Destino, who is well known in the community as well. Jim is a business owner, a former city council president, and has been the Chief Operating Officer for the last year for Mayor Romeo-Taken. So that first city council meeting will take place tonight at City Hall at 7 p.m.
And let me think here. I'm looking around at different things, and there's not a lot of breaking news right now, as you point out. But this lottery thing, it seems like everywhere you go, people are talking about this thing. And You know, there's also this feeling out there, Rick, and we all have this feeling, I think, that there's a curse to winning something this big. I mean, you're tempted to go out and say, I'm going to buy. For those of us that don't play the lottery, you know, you're tempted to go out and play it. And in fact, when I was at work, there was a group of people that when these things got that big, then we'd go in and we'd throw in our $2 or whatever it was, and we'd go out and get a ticket as a group. And that was kind of a fun thing to do, you know, because you never know. Maybe Monday you don't have to come back to work. You know, it's one of those things. And but people do talk about this lottery curse, and they run stories on the news about this as well, about the people that win. And all of a sudden, I mean, guys that win millions of dollars, and then all of a sudden they find themselves a year or two later in millions of dollars of debt. It's just crazy. And you think to yourself, this can't happen to me, because I'd be careful with my money. But then you always wonder, you know, it's just kind of and then if you won, you know, you get, your life has got to change big time, because everybody's going to be knocking at your door almost literally, probably.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's fun to fantasize about. But I also think most normal people.
You're excluding me from that, is what you're saying.
And me, yeah. Okay. You know, present company accepted. But most normal people, I'm going to say in a middle income bracket, you know, probably can't spend that kind of money. I don't think there's a curse on those people who win, because the general consensus I get from talking to people is that you want to do good things with it. You think of charities. You think of maybe scholarships you can set up. You think of course, your family, your extended family and friends that you'd want to help out. But with that kind of money, unless you're a Derek Sanderson type, it's really hard to spend. And let us not forget that Sanderson back in the 70s, when he went to the, the World Hockey Association at that time, I think he signed for something like $15 million, which was, that's close to billionaire money in today's dollars. And, but what he would do was just literally throw it away. He would go out at night. He'd be, I'm embellishing probably, but I have heard that he would go out at night, you know, to a bar, meet someone at the bar and say, you know, and become friends with them in an altered state, shall we say, and say, all right, well, you know what, there's a Mercedes dealer down the street. Let's go. I'll go down and buy you a Mercedes. And within a very short period of time, he had burned through everything. So if you do that, of course, I guess there is a way to spend it. But I think, don't you think, Bill, most normal people would just want to do just good things with it? I, at least the people I've run into.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, here's what I'm thinking I would do. It's like, if I won that kind of money, then I'm thinking sometime over the winter coming up, you know, when the roads get messy, you know, after a month of slush and sludge on the highway, salt and sand and dirt, maybe I would go through the car wash. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's, maybe I would splurge and say, all right, I'm going through the car wash. I don't care what it costs. I'm going to take this car through the car wash. You know what I'm, and you know what? Well, I'm going to have them do the inside too. You know,
I have a similar fantasy. Is I would go to the grocery store with my wife and I wouldn't look at any prices. I would just take whatever I wanted and put it into the carriage.
You'd even probably go to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or one of those places, right?
Oh, we definitely go to Trader Joe's also. Absolutely. See, we think big, don't we?
I know. It's like the sky's the limit with you, Rick. I know. Let's go back up and down these aisles one more time and see if we.
There you go.
If there's some others. If there's the if that expensive cereal you've been looking for, you could, let's go for it. Let's just do it. Yeah.
You know, but you do bring up a good point. It is a lot of fun, I think, for people who are in offices and stuff, and they go in and pool, and you figure, all right, this will increase the odds. If I go in with 20 other people, then we got a chance, you know. And statistically, no, you don't. But nevertheless, it's fun to do that. And, you know, it reminds me of what used to be these illegal Super Bowl pools. Remember, you buy the squares and, you know, you have the home team and on the horizontal and the visiting team on the vertical or vice versa. And then the fun of that is you're watching the game and then, you know, you look at your numbers and you say, oh, man, if the opposing team, I'm rooting for the Patriots. But, you know, if the Seahawks score a touchdown, I win money. Come on, Seahawks. So I never cared for that either.
Well, I used to, those used to go around as well, and I watched one of the games, and I did not watch a lot of the NFL this past weekend, but one of the games started with a safety which meant 2 points. So the score was 2-0. And what went through my head last weekend was, oh, what if that guy in the pool had the 0 and the 2? Man, that'd be great. Because when two pops up in a football pool, you said, how often is there a 2 at the end of the score? You know, is it,
right,
you know,
right.
It's never 12, you know, hardly ever. Well, 12, sometimes you do get 12. You got 4 field goals. That does happen. But it's one of those numbers you really don't get a lot.
It's funny. Yeah, the 2 and the 12 both came up this weekend. You're right, but it is it doesn't happen very often. Yeah, I never played those, you know, didn't care for it. As again, you know, the problem is being a math teacher, you know the odds.
Well, I would do it just to be sporting, you know, just to be a good guy,
well,
you know. And
I've got my thing is if you've got $2 to burn, if you could light a match to $2 and not care, then go ahead and buy a ticket, and I will. I'm going to.
All right, so here's the deal. So here we are on North Shore today. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore, and we got the mayors coming up here in just a moment. Mayor Kim Driscoll from Salem and Ted Betancourt from Peabody. Rick, do you have a preference who should go first here? I got one other story I want to get to at least here. But
Well, I think chronologically I met with Mayor Driscoll in the morning and Mayor Betancourt in the afternoon, so why don't we just do it in that order?
Let's do it that way, okay. So here's something, too. This is in the Wall Street Journal today, and, you know, I don't know how to feel about this thing. You know, for any one of us, you know, all of us in New England, we've lived in New England for years. We've got cars that we have to fill up with gasoline. We've got homes that we have to fill up with oil or gas or whatever. And we have cold winters. We have prices that never go down. They only go up, except for right now they're going down. So here's the deal. Listen to this story here. The headline in the Wall Street Journal is a top story today here. Oil drop sparks bankruptcy fears. So you don't think about this, but crude oil prices have plunged more than 5% on Monday to trade nearly $30 a barrel. And those of us that don't follow the economy all that closely know that $30 a barrel is a lot less than it was, making the specter of bankruptcy ever more likely for a significant chunk of the U.S. oil industry. The major investment banks, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and Citigroup, now expect the price of oil to crash through the $30 threshold into the $20 territory in order as a result of China's slowdown. The U.S. dollar's appreciation and the fact that the drillers from Houston to Riyadi won't quit pumping despite the glut. So it means, I guess, that all these people that have the companies and that's how they make their money. I mean, whether they're greedy or not, but now they're not making money like they used. You know, there has to be a margin, just like if you go into the grocery store. You know, the folks at Market Basket know, you know, we don't have to make a lot on a gallon of milk, but we need to make something on a gallon of milk because we'll make our money somewhere else. But there are all these, you know, there's all these different pricing points in industries that, you know, I certainly don't pretend to know. But in oil, it's pretty simple, I think. You know, you've got to make a certain amount of money or else it's not profitable. And right now at $30 a barrel, apparently you're right on the edge of it's not being profitable.
It's hard not to get angry over this because if they go bankrupt and screw up the economy, you know, I do blame greed because they were running at such a high profit margin for the last at least 10 years or so that they probably overspent, whether it's on salaries, whether it's on equipment, whether it's on, you know, new science, whatever it might be, that they could have reined it in a little bit more so that should this happen, you've got a little cushion. It is, to me, incredible how much the price of oil has dropped. But again, you know, when oil price, let us not forget, Bill, when the prices were sky high and oil was not available, they refused to release the extra stuff. I guess that might have been the government or whatever. But now that there's a glut, it's the same thing. So stop producing. It's like, let's use some logic here. So I don't quite understand the whole thing. But you know, just as an uninformed consumer, it's hard not to get angry.
Well, and on the other hand, let's see what happens. Let's play it out. I don't have a large car. I actually have a small car. But yesterday or 2 days ago, I filled it up. I was pretty much empty, filled it up, less than $20 is basically what it was. And that was nice, you know. After all,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? After these years of, you know,
yep.
$40 for a small car to fill it up. And then you got people with the bigger cars. Oh, my gosh, I can't imagine.
But don't you... Don't you also know, Bill, every time you pull in there, this ain't going to stay this way. It's just like, okay, let's fill it up now while we can, but this isn't going to stay like this.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, exactly. Right. So things will, I'm sure, change. But it's funny. I'd love to talk to an economist to just what would be the pathway out of this? And I guess it's still, I imagine it's just supply and demand, and the supply has to go down, as we were just talking about a moment ago, for it to go back up. So, and people aren't willing to cut the supply right now because they still want to make as much as they can off what they're producing. So, whatever. I just hope I don't want to run out of oil, though. That's, you know, in my lifetime. I don't want. Let's not have that happen. So.
Well, it's coming. It might not be in our lifetime, but it's coming.
And okay. All right, so here we are, Rick. It's a Tuesday, and I guess we've got the mayors coming up. We don't want to hold off too much longer before getting to them, but again, we've got basketball and possibly hockey tomorrow night, correct?
Yep, looking forward to doing, I believe it's Beverly at Peabody. That should be a fun game. Peabody on a roll right now. Beverly on a roll, and Peabody continuing to play well. So that should be another good one.
All right, so just ahead, Mayor Kim Driscoll of Salem, Ted Betancourt, the mayor of the city of Peabody, all here on North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.
With MSONewsSports.com, I'm Rick Moore at the office of Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll once again, and Mayor, Madam Mayor, Happy New Year.
Yeah, happy 2016. It's nice to see sun as we start out.
That's
in January.
Yeah, it's strange, and we've had a very mild winter, and I guess this is just sort of an open round table this morning. I don't have any specific questions, but one of the things I was thinking of on the way in here is that up to this point, we haven't had to plow very much, and how does that affect the budget and so on at this point, or is it sort of just you got to wait and see?
Yeah, we definitely need to wait and see. Based on last year, I think at the end of January, we were talking about, well, we may have a surplus in snow. What other needs do we have? And we all know what happened in February. So I think that, we'll wait till the end of the year to assess the impacts on the budget, or at least the end of the spring. So far, so good, though, for sure.
Good. All right. And stuff going on, businesses. I know that Bill Newell has been talking about the Lynn Hospital situation over there and things that affect this community and so on.
Yeah, we've got a hearing being held in Salem by the State Department of Public Health about North Shore Medical Center and their plans to consolidate the Union Hospital campus and the Salem campus here in Salem. They'll be making a major investment in Salem, but as you can understand, there is certainly concern in the city of Lynn about the downsizing of services on that hospital. So that's underway. We've been having a roundtable discussion with stakeholders both in Salem and in Lynn to talk about how that would work, what the logistics are, how we're planning for, areas of concern. And it's a big initiative. It's exciting in some ways, and it's also daunting. So we want to make sure, as we're thinking about it, we're working together to get things right.
When you say working together, who's involved in some of these discussions? What are some of the parties?
Yes, so certainly Partners is there, who run both North Shore Medical Center and Union Hospital. We've got stakeholders like from North Shore Elder Services. We've got counselors from Lynn, the mayor, state legislative officials as well, other folks in the community, both community health center representatives. We've met three or four times to try and identify what are the key issues we need to be concerned about. And it's a hard conversation to have in the midst of folks still really wanting to maintain what they currently have. So we're trying to make sure that the concerns of Lynn residents are heard, and that's a process that DPH will run, while also recognizing that if this goes forward, there are challenges we want to make sure are addressed here in our community. And it certainly, for Salem, will provide a solid healthcare base in our community for a very long time to come, as well as jobs and quality services, not just for Salem, but frankly for the region. But there are also challenges in terms of transportation and how you make that consolidation work for everyone. And I think that's a good conversation to have.
What about for staffing? Is there concern of losing staffing from one to the other?
I'm sure. I mean, we had Shaughnessy Kaplan here, also known as Spalding North. They closed that freed up space. Most of the staff did find other jobs, but it's not the same as working in a place where you've been maybe for your whole career, and the attention and conscientiousness that you have. And I think that's very much the case at Union as well. The staff there have long, kind of held together, and to see that being broken up is as hard as, determining the services. These aren't city initiatives, but they are obviously initiatives that impact our city, so we're trying to pay close attention to them.
What else is going on in the city, business-wise or otherwise?
We've got an expansion proposal by F.W. Webbs, a plumbing supply company that's been in Salem since 1944, also one of the largest, if not the largest, plumbing supply companies in the region. And they are looking to build a showroom here, similar to that they have in other communities, on some city-owned land that we've put an RFP out for. We're working through some challenges with neighbors, but excited about the opportunity to see a former brownfield transformed and redeveloped.
I've been thinking about the red and white, the red and blue states and so on. And I just wonder, you know, listening to you as you talk about all these people working together and having different perspectives, how do you get people to come together with rational discussion? Because I'm thinking in particular, I'm thinking of gun control, all right? Or and I don't even like to call it gun control, but the issue about what's going on in this country with weapons, okay? And I talked to a couple of police chiefs, and they have a very different perspective, and I don't even know what their politics are. But these are things that people need to hear about, in my opinion. But, Madam Mayor, as a citizen of the region, and, you know, we're labeled a liberal region, but on the other hand, you know, we have a lot of different views here. Why can't or how do you get people who have these wicked, varying, polar opposite ideas to meet and talk in a rational way on many issues that are oftentimes emotional? What's your experience with that?
I think it's really hard. It's certainly been a struggle in our country, and you can see that if you travel, you know, anywhere in Massachusetts or anywhere outside of Massachusetts. The one thing I'd say that we're seeing, and it's not unique to Salem or to this state or this region, is that cities have become the hubbub of activity for actually getting things done. And in large measure, it's because people live here, and we don't care if it's Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or whatever, you know, shade, color, or background attaches itself. It's an issue that needs to be addressed, and that's enabling things to get done. We also know the people, so we're going to have to wrestle through issues of redevelopment. We're going to have to wrestle through issues of expansion and growth, but we're doing it knowing the other people across the table, recognizing what's in our control and what's not in our control, and wanting to be in a position to shape things. Nothing is standing still. You know, the world is not flat. Right. You know, it's not as though if we don't like something, it's not going to happen. On the other hand, we certainly can shape the future, and I think we have an opportunity to do that at the local level, frankly, in some ways more than at the state or at the national level, and that is one thing that draws people together.
I think you're 100% correct, and my idea would be to, if we could somehow take this model, push it to the State House and get the State House to push it to Congress and so on. So there must be some way where, you know, the proverbial one vote does count in some way, shape, or form.
Well, when individuals who are in elective office put the we ahead of the I, that's a big part of it, I think, and we could certainly use more of that, I think.
Sounds like Coach Belichick. Madam Mayor, anything else on the new year is coming? You know, we're into the new year now. Holidays are behind us. I'm going to be going to go see Destination Salem very soon here and see what's happening in the city. But the city doesn't sleep even when it gets cold.
It doesn't. We're gearing up for Salem So Sweet in February. Hopefully we'll have some nice weather for the ice sculptures, but not so nice that we have to shovel.
Okay.
And we just came off a council mayor retreat. We had a school committee retreat. So it's the beginning of the year. We're all starting to play out
what
our agendas.
Like? Where do you go for that?
Both of them actually were at Salem State. We there's a, you know, a meeting room there that we're able to use. It has the right materials in terms of presentations, and it's just an informal dialogue to kind of plot out the work for the year and recognize you know, what's ahead of us and try and think about it not just in the scope of a meeting where you're set to an agenda, a little bit more freewheeling. But they were both good discussions, and I think, again, trying to get people to relate to each other is a big part of trying to recognize what we can do together.
So. Is there a new makeup in terms of city council president and school committee chair?
Yes. So we have in the city council, Councilor Turiel from Ward 5 is the new incoming president, and we have three new school committee members, two of whom served on the council prior in different years. So it's not a completely new experience, but everyone, you know, it's always a good chance to check in and see what the top priorities are and try and have some joint goals and recognize that, you know, what happens in our community is largely based on our ability to collaborate and work together. The school committee, the mayor is the chair by virtue of the office, so I still chair it, but we do have two new members, and it's again another opportunity to kind of plot out what's the work ahead, what are the staff working on, what are the goals of the committee, how do we work together even when we don't agree. We still have to figure out what the process is to get to decisions.
You didn't laugh at me. You see how embarrassed I am
I
over there. Okay.
I do.
All right, finally, 2016, do you do the resolution thing?
You know, My coach in college told me he had read a study that said people who write down their goals and, like, you know, actually take the time to really be thoughtful about it generally have a much better chance of achieving them. Mm-hmm. So I normally take the month of January to kind of lay out what are my goals for the year. I put it in an envelope and I don't really look at it again. And then at the end of the year, I open it up and say, what did we get or what did we do? I haven't done it yet, so I got a few more weeks to get it done.
Thank you, as always. That is Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll with MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore. With MSONewsSports.com, I'm Rick Moore. And once again, we're at the office of Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt. And, Mr. Mayor, first of all, how did the holidays go? I haven't seen you in a month or so.
Oh, it was terrific. I have three young daughters. They had a wonderful time with Christmas. Santa Claus was very good to them, and nice. We had a great new year. And I hope you did as well.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, absolutely. It just goes so fast. It's incredible. The string of warm weather and mild weather, does that have any impact on what's going on in the city at all?
No, it certainly allowed us a little additional time to get everything ready for the winter, the big concern being obviously snow after last year, and we've been able to get our equipment ready, get our crews all together. So it's just waiting to tackle those snowstorms when it comes. So any day it doesn't snow, as far as I'm concerned, is a good day.
Oh, you're not a skier then. Okay. Yeah. All right. Coming into town.
I used to love the snow until last winter.
Okay.
Now,
yeah,
I used to love the snow.
You see it from a different angle?
Now I see it from a different angle.
I see. Okay. Well, I got a snowblower. I inherited my dad's snowblower, so all is right with it. Plus, I'll tell you, here's the key. We got a generator that's hooked up to the house, so that's guaranteed not to have any big storms now. So, you know, you get a generator and a snowplow and all that stuff. Coming into town, coming from 128, there's some signs out on the road here on Lowell Street indicating work going on at Peabody Square. Is that part and parcel of what's going to be happening with changes?
Yes, next spring, or this coming spring, rather, we are going to be undertaking the second phase of our downtown reconfiguration, and specifically, we're going to be reconfiguring Peabody Square. We're going to be moving the monument, which right now is right in the middle of our downtown, moving that over to the courthouse, creating a kind of a plaza in front of the courthouse for community events, making it more of a four-way intersection, which we think will be safer for vehicles, safer for pedestrians, make it a much more attractive area. So right now there's a lot of utility work taking place, National Grid, some city work, just to prepare for that work that's going to be done in the spring.
I'm thinking of two things. I'm thinking, first of all, that's really going to mess up Peabody residents who have been away for a few years and come back and see that thing moved.
Yes, it's going to be some dramatic changes. But, you know, we had made the decision, certainly that I pushed for, to really make an effort to change the perception of Peabody Square. We feel we've made a lot of improvements with our flooding. That's not solved by any means, but we feel it's definitely improved. And we want to change the appearance and make it safer for people. One of the big things that I hear, and I still hear it, but certainly when I was running for mayor a few years ago, was that a lot of people who live in the area didn't feel comfortable and safe walking around downtown. There were numerous accidents. Pedestrians were hit. In fact, one pedestrian was killed about 4 years ago. And we felt we needed to make some changes. So we were able to get grants from the state. These projects are primarily funded through grant money. And we feel that we're going to have a much safer for pedestrian and for motor vehicle area. We're going to have a much more attractive area, new trees, new sidewalks, new crosswalks. At each of the intersections, we're going to have some hardscape landscape areas that are going to be potentially available for outdoor seating for restaurants. And we think this is just going to continue the momentum we have in our downtown.
Yeah, I think that will be a definite change and improvement because that road coming from Lowell Street through heading toward Salem and so on is pretty fast at some points and sometimes because it's so wide, I suppose. But also on the periphery, on the outside, you've purchased some land. Is that how it goes?
Yes, we're still the next another important component of our efforts downtown to revitalize the area is to bring some destination areas. One thing that I'm very strongly in support of and is trying to make happen is to bring a children's museum down into the downtown area. We've recently got permission or approval from the city council to fund the purchase of St. Paul's Church, which is just off the corner of Main Street and Washington Street. It's number 12 Washington Street. 55 parking spaces. It's a facility that we think can be a part of our long-range plan for to bring some sort of museum or some sort of other community place that will bring people to go downtown.
Okay, the new year. is here, and I presume everybody has been put into place in terms of inaugurations and so on. So you have a new city council per se, and a new school committee. And does that affect the chairmanships?
Yes, there have been a few changes. We've had three longtime elected officials retire. Bob Driscoll was our Ward 4 counselor and was, in fact, the president this past year. He was a ward counselor for 28 years. He retired. Ed Charist is our new ward counselor. He was a member of the school committee. Barry Osborne was our Ward 1 counselor over in South Peabody. He's retired after 16 years. And we have John Turco is coming in for that position. And then on school committee, Dave McGeaney was on the school committee for 20 years, and he's retired as well. So there have been some changes. The president of the city council this year is Peter McGinn, who's the Ward 2 counselor, very hardworking counselor, who is Ward 2 is pretty much the downtown area, and he'll be the president this year. I think the other key positions, finance chair is Dave Gravel. He's been finance chair now for a couple of years. Municipal safety is Mike Garabedian. And we have some really good people in place, and I think we'll be able to continue the efforts we've made in a positive way.
Good. And what about a special election? What's the status of that?
Yes, we have a big election coming up. The primary is February 2nd. It's going to be here very soon for Democratic and Republican representatives to be in the final election, which will be March 1st. So right now we have three candidates on the Democratic side. We have two city councilors, Tom Walsh and Jim Mitsoulis, as well as Craig Welton, who has been involved in a number of community events. Three very strong candidates for that position. We have two Republican candidates, Leah Cole and replacing Leah Cole, would be Stephanie Peach and Jackie Corvo, two young ladies that also are good candidates. And we have a independent candidate, Chris Gallagher, who is also running. So we have some really strong candidates. I'm very happy about that. And, it's important for the city to have that representative in place.
This is the state rep?
State representative. Okay. Yeah, Leah Cole resigned a few months ago. She was going back to school. And, that's created the opening for us. And we'll have that new representative on March 1st.
Okay. Now, my final question is, I'm going to bring this from out of left field. I talked with Mayor Driscoll this morning. I am trying to formulate some kind of a forum to get people together on extreme polar opposites of an issue. Actually, this has to do with gun control or the gun issue. My question to you does not, but it's along those same lines. When you are dealing with an issue that is emotionally charged, and it could be a stop sign in a neighborhood. I mean, I don't know what it is, but you're going to have people who are emotionally charged and on opposite sides of the issue that mean a lot. But how do you, as a mayor and in your capacity as a former city councilor and so on, and as a resident, and as a person who pretty much can see all sides of the issue, how do you work with people to get them to the middle or to a place that makes sense for everybody? In other words, how do you get people to talk in a rational manner and try to understand things?
Yeah, and that's always a challenge. I think one of the things that one thing that's very important to me, it's something that I ran on when I was mayor, or when I was running for mayor, was that I'm a team player, and that I like to bring people together, and that I feel that as a group you certainly accomplish more than as an individual. And when an important issue comes up or an emotional topic, I am slow, I am deliberate, I take my time, talk to people. I certainly talk to other mayors. I also talk to other elected officials and people who I rely on for advice. And then, once I kind of come up with what I'm looking to do, I think it's important for me to sit down and hear from the different people that are taking on this issue and try to bring them to come to a consensus. But it's never easy, certainly with emotional topics like gun control and others. I think it's important for me as a representative to hear all sides and then try to see if there's some way things can be compromised or if we can come to a consensus.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to mention?
No, I think we covered it pretty well.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rick.
That is Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt with MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore.
Great. All right, welcome back to North Shore Today. Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. And in our sports segment here today, our basketball broadcast tonight, boys action, Marblehead playing at Beverly, 7 o'clock tip-off here on MSONewsSports.com from Beverly High School. And also, we just send an alert out to you folks that the Danvers boys basketball team will be the state championship team from a year ago will be honored prior to their game tonight at home in Danvers against Winthrop. That team went 27-0 last year under Coach John Walsh, and so best of luck to them tonight. Should be a great evening to honor that basketball team. And we'll have a Danvers Hoop post up today as well on our website. And, Rick, last night on North Shore Tonight, a packed show. Tell me some of the highlights in that program.
Yeah, it was. And Tim Kearns, my co-host, a little under the weather, wasn't with us in studio, but of course we did talk with Tim, and everybody knows how affable Tim is and how knowledgeable he is about sports. So we wrapped up the show with Tim, but I got to tell you, it's the first time in my coverage of sports on the North Shore, and of course that goes back a while, it's the very first time I've ever talked with a swim coach. So we have Denise Silva, who's the Lynn Classical swim team head coach at Lynn Classical High School. She's tremendous. She's awesome. She loves her kids. And she brings a real insight into the swimming program in the conference. And needless to say, talks about her kids in great detail and how proud she is of them. Also talk with Dan Harrison, former sports writer at the Salem News. And it's funny, that's a club that stays, it's pretty tightly knit, the sports writers in that Salem News, Lawrence Eagle Tribune, Gloucester Times, Newburyport Daily News, packed. They all know and help each other help one another out. But Dan is the sports editor up at Newburyport, so he brings a lot of information about what's going on in the Cape Ann League this winter. Who else did we have? We had the Hamilton Wenham girls basketball coach on, Coach DeMarco, who sends reports into us. We talked with Scott Cooper, updating Marblehead Swampscott Sports. You were on, you know, talking about what's going on in Danvers tonight. And I know I'm missing someone. I'm leaving someone out. But the post is right there. Lots of fun interviews. They're not long. We couldn't go in a lot of detail because we had so many people on last night. But a lot of fun to talk with those guys. And again, learning about swimming was enlightening to me.
All right. Well, just be safe, Rick. If you need any flotation device, just let us know, okay, before you go.
I ain't going near the diving board. God right. bless those kids.
And by the way, Rick, you know that these guys, they're swimming inside. They're not out there doing the polar plunge. They're inside. You know that, right?
Right. Now, speaking of the polar plunge, that's in a couple of weeks, the Rotary Polar Plunge in Gloucester. Josh Arnold will have more on that coming up this Thursday. We're going to do Trending Now on Thursday this week and probably thereafter. Thursday's at 10 a.m.
Gotcha. All right, that'll do it. Excuse me. That'll do it for us today on North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.